Welcome to Take It From The Iron Woman. My name is Susanne Müller, your host and the Iron Woman. This podcast is about empowering yourself and others to make real changes in the world. You will hear from everyday, smart, sophisticated, hip people like you and me. Not everybody has to be an Iron Woman to impress the world. Together, we will learn from the sports and business leaders how you can become a more successful person as an entrepreneur or a leader. It's one step at a time, one day at a time. Take your steps now. Take your big steps now. Join me on this journey to success. Take It From The Iron Woman. We only have special guests. I say that all the time. In March, we have 3 or more episodes per week. And I would like to say I'm very honored to have the expert Henrike van Platen with us. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Who is Henrike? Who's going to join us here?
Nice question to start off with. Who am I and how many? I don't know. Well, I'm Henrike. I grew up on the Canary Islands and in Germany. I feel a bit like an international person, having gone to German schools, to English schools. And I don't know how it happened, but in school, they used to call me Henry. I used to be sort of more like the tomboy. And gender issues and equality was never, ever on my mind until I was something like 35, I don't know, somewhere in that range. That's sort of where my journey started to, where I can't even point out the second or moment where I would say something happened and then suddenly, like people often ask this question, I say, well, now I don't really remember. But I do remember that I entered a network, the Business and Professional Women, which I actually choose because of its international touch. Because I was in Germany, I was together with lots of people, but I didn't know many women and not even working women. And I wanted to sort of broaden it. And with this network, actually, it started that I got in touch with the Equal Pay Day campaign straight from the beginning when it started. And I found this a very serious, very weird topic. I couldn't believe what that meant, actually. Like today, still lots of people think, yeah, this isn't real. I started to focus on it. And that's where my journey sort of began and took off to fight for equal rights, especially for equal pay. So there are lots of things around it, but I would leave it at this for us, like a short start. Yeah.
And I know Germany or in Europe, or maybe I'm wrong, you have to tell us, is Germany, Europe better than any parts of the world? Or how is it? Because I feel like we talk in sports about fair play, but it also should have a talk and a discussion about fair pay. Equal work should have fair pay, in my opinion. So give us a little insight on how that is and how it isn't and how it should be.
I actually like the phrasing. We've used it in a little campaign or something we did some years ago where I was always like saying, only fair pay is fair play.
Oh, yeah.
So you can use this wording, and sometimes people even say, oh, Henrike, you have the Fair Play Innovation Lab. And I think, oh, yeah, that sounds nice too.
Yeah.
It's only fair play if you sort of pay fairly as well. So it's a very nice wording you can use, and it's often done in sports, and then people get to notice it. And one thing about fair pay is, and then I will come to the question of Germany, but a thing about fair pay is, if you want to pay fairly, I often use the analogy to sports when I explain what fair pay actually means to us, because when you say you can only fair play, however, which way you turn it, if you imagine you want to pay fairly, what you really need is a fair rule set. And you need people to know about it. And if you think of sports and you think of a soccer game or something like that, you think of two teams and you imagine that these two teams with their trainers are in their separate locker rooms and they are sort of deciding on how they're going to play this game and they're setting themselves some rules on how they're going to do it once they go out. And both teams are thinking about their own rule set. They go out, we will have chaos on the field because they are playing by different rules. And to make them play fairly, they need to have the same rule set. And they need to have also a person that looks after them, the Schiedsrichter, the arbiter, to sort of say, okay, this is how it's functioning. And if you now look at companies and the equality question, you could say, okay, when somebody wants to hire in a company as an employee and talks to the HR person hiring that person, and they are discussing, they are actually playing on a field with different rule sets.
Yeah.
Because the one is like saying, oh, what would you like to have? And the other says, well, I don't know, maybe this much. Instead of sort of having a fair rule set saying, okay, we want to hire you for this and this job, and it's worth so much for us as a company, you can take it, you can leave it, whatever. Mm-hmm. But you make it transparent, the rules by which you're playing. And if that's not the case, you don't get to fair play and not to fair pay. That's sort of the explanation for that. And yeah.
Makes sense. I like that. In sports, we know the rules. I mean, there are people who don't play by the rules. We always have those exceptions. But if we have that image of the soccer game, there are rules, everybody has their position. The only thing that I have to say, I think women and men don't get paid the same. That's another topic. But
absolutely.
And then in human resources, it's always like a game. I used to work in human resources. Obviously, in a company, you don't want to pay too much because you can save some money. That's why there is a game. And if somebody comes in and they know how to negotiate, well, they get the higher pay if they have a range. How so?
Yeah, but that's sort of the question is that fair?
No.
And how could you change it? If you have a rule set on the amount that you can pay for certain positions, because you can explain that you have experiences or whatever the culture of the company is that they want to pay for, if those rules are transparent and this company will pay me for experience because that's their culture, the next company is not paying for experience, they pay more for different things, but I can see that. And then I can also fit myself into the according culture where I sort of more belong to. And it's not about sort of getting a person cheaper to work for me or paying more for somebody just because I like him. It should always be about what is the work of a person delivering to the company worth to the company. And if the company knows how much a lipstick in the end is sold and how much it costs to do that, well, then it's not so difficult to sort of fix an amount which you are paying for every job that's needed to sort of end with a lipstick in the end. And why can't you tell that the people that you want to hire? So this is a big, big culture question. And to come back to the question on countries and differences in countries, in Germany, the pay gap is really high compared to whole Europe. It's in a leading position nearly. Germans like to lead sometimes, but in this case, I don't think it's very, very nice way to lead, but it's a very high one. And there's one very simple explanation. It's definitely not the one explanation at all, but it's sort of one thing that you can, if you look at history and if you look at worldwide issues on fair pay, you see that countries that have had a very good industrialization time and in the 50s and lots of money and one wage was enough to feed a family. And all these things led to a role stereotype that we have of the woman at, in the kitchen and everything. But that came out of a time where that was nice to have. It was good. It was a positive thing. The issue is that it ended up now with once you are not having like one marriage which lasts forever, but half of the marriages are being divorced and things like that, then you could say, okay, this model from 50s, 60s actually doesn't work anymore. But it's still active in a way. It's still active. And that leads to being on one thing, like you say, a very high level, whatever country, and being so far back in a way because of that. Not only because of that, but because of that too. If you compare with other countries that are not so far from that, from the, that part of the evolution side, they have lower pay gaps, which you could say, okay. And even if you look at countries where there's little money, which is very logical, when you have little money in general and everybody's being paid very badly, the gaps are lower. The gaps are lower on the lower wages as well. So if you don't have those super high wages, you don't have so high gaps, which in a way is logical, but it's not fair. It's completely stupid, but it's the way it is. You don't have the women on the higher positions, and on the higher positions, you even have bigger gaps.
And I think we can talk days, years, many, whatever. But let's talk a little bit about Fair Pay Innovation Lab. You created that?
Yeah. I did. I actually did. And there was a reason for that. I remember when we met, that was a time where I was very active also in DPW, and I had a position, and I was president of Germany until 2016 sometime. And when it was clear that this would be over, which is good, periods like that also have to end, I mm-hmm. was like thinking, okay, what do I do next? And I was like looking at what had happened and like seeing the equal pay campaign, seeing the topics, seeing the pay gaps and not seeing much differences. And there was a moment of having to decide, or where I also decided, I said, okay, I can either go back or do again business like usual, like whatever I did before and what I was doing in the meantime as well. Or I can keep on working on this topic. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to keep on working on the topic because for me, it was after some years so unfair that I, and still today, that I think I really want to see the gaps closed. Mm-hmm. And I want to see them closed before I die in my lifetime. I want to do something else. But I can do something else once this is finished. Yeah. So we have to be faster. Yeah. Give me the chance to do something else. Yeah. Yeah. And then PI, the Fair Pay Innovation Lab, actually was sort of born out of the idea that I thought, okay, if I now do carry on with the topic, mm-hmm. how do I carry on? How do we get more speed into mm-hmm. closing pay gaps? Yeah. And the Equal Pay Day campaign and all equality campaigns are great, and they have to be more, and you need more mm-hmm. women and men on the streets for this, no question. But I said, for me, that's enough. Others can now carry the red flags mm-hmm. around. For me, mm-hmm. that's done. Yeah. I want to go to the core of the problem. And when we talk about pay, challenge isn't changing women, as we know. The challenge is changing the culture and the company that is paying, because mm-hmm. the less pay is coming out of the company. So the issue is, the core of the problem is in the heart of the company. Mm-hmm. It's not the woman that needs mm-hmm. to change. Mm-hmm. She's not getting paid less because she wants to get paid less. Mm-hmm. She probably doesn't even know. And some men get paid unfairly and don't know. And this whole thing. So then I said, okay, with the FPI, we want to address companies and make sure that we help them to get better at this point. And that's absolutely what we do. And we started off looking for best practices, because mm-hmm. there's one other thing about the FPI which makes it different. We are a GmbH, a German enterprise, but we are a not-for-profit. It's like a social entrepreneurship, mm-hmm, not-for-profit, mm-hmm, limited, whatever you call it. We said, okay, our goal that makes us not-for-profit, you have to set yourself goals. And the mm-hmm. goal that we have is fair pay for all, which means all human beings worldwide. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No less. I'm sure we can make it. And we started off with lots of companies, not only in Germany, mainly in Germany, because it's sort of the base. We've been in New York every year with the Commission on the Status of Women, and mm-hmm. been traveling and talking to companies and making an exchange between companies, where they exchange on the best practice that they have. And they sort of, we don't consult them. They end up consulting each other when they enter our like we call management circles. Mm-hmm. And we did that the first three years. And now it's changed a bit due to so many things that are happening in the world. Thank you, Susanne. Super cool.
Wow. What are you taking away? There's so much learning. There's so much more work to be done. Take it from the Iron Woman. We have episodes in the month of March, every Monday, Wednesday, Saturday. Don't miss out. There's something for everybody. We want to make sure you learn a lot. You get exposed to different fantastic women who are changing the world. Take it from the Iron Woman is also a book. It's about my journey from Switzerland to New York to Kilimanjaro and many more stories.